Good day once again, friends. It's good to be with you and your entire family, and we hope you'll spend the next quarter hour in being with us in this broadcast. Incidentally, this is the final broadcast in this current series, and we often say that if you'd like a copy of the outlines, we'll be glad to send them to you without cost or obligation. Just address a card or letter, a card will do, to the congregations bringing you this broadcast or to the radio station that makes it possible. If you do, write to the radio station, mention the Church of Christ broadcast, and also point out the date that you heard the broadcast or the series, and we'll actually be glad to send that to you when we can get word from you. We make these programs, of course, ahead of time. They're sent to many stations throughout the country, and we find they're being brought to you by local congregations. It's really their broadcast. We're simply an evangelist that's proclaiming the truth, but we want to share with you whatever we possibly can that'll help you to come to know God's Word more completely. Well, there couldn't be a way to end this series without talking about the great battle that Paul refers to in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's the battlefield that's out there before us. So he says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." You'll find this in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We read verses 12 and 13. Now let's face the fact that there is a battle raging in this life between good and evil. And I want to dispel the idea that I've been hearing from certain people for some time now, that there's going to be a circumstance where God will sit down with the devil around a conference table and they'll work out a plan for peaceful coexistence. There's no scripture that sustains that idea. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to lay hold upon eternal life. This indicates there's a battle in life. It indicates there's a foe, an opposing foe. It indicates to us that this battle that is fought will have a victor. There's a victory to win. There's a crown to receive. And the Lord is telling us here in a very definite way how we may prepare ourselves as Christians for this battle. So someone says, "Well, preacher, that's the way I've got an idea about religion. It's just a battle. And I don't want to become involved in that battle because I'm a peaceful person." Well, you know where you're going to end up? If you're the type of individual who is peaceful with the devil, then he's already got you in his camp. I was reading that scripture that the Apostle Peter wrote, and when I read it, that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm led to believe, since this was written to Christians, that the people that he's really working on in this great pursuit to devour them is not really the alien sinner at all. You see, the devil already has the alien sinner in his camp. Oh, the devil's put him back in a peaceful retreat. Said, "Now you just stay there and relax and take it easy. We've got a TV for you to look at here. There's plenty of magazines for you to read. And we'll see that you have plenty of food. And you just take it easy. You've got a lot of friends here." And so the devil has those people in his clutches. But out on the firing line, that's where the Christians are. And he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he has a foe. He has agents that are working for him. They can even be angels of light, so to speak. They can be able to quote Scripture, because the devil quoted Scripture in the 4th chapter of Matthew when he tempted Christ. Remember what he said? When he found out that Jesus was using Scripture, for he had asked Christ in that temptation, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." And Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So the devil thought he'd try the scripture. And as usual, he wrested it. But when he got him upon the pinnacle of the temple, he said, "Now, if you're the Son of God, jump down." He said, "You know it's written that his angels will take care of you. In their hands they'll bury you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." You'll find words like that in the 91st Psalm. But that 91st Psalm is the happy state of the godly. It's not a state of sin. It's not a state of capitulation to the devil. So the devil twisted that scripture, and Jesus set him straight by simply saying, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So that would have been a temptation. It would have been a tempting of God to have jumped off the pinnacle of the temple. So the devil has a lot of people in his camp today, and he's got agents out there working for him as well. But how are we going to meet him? Well, let's meet him with the Word of God. You know, in this armor, we have the statement made down in verse 17, to take the helmet of salvation, but also the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I think you know this as you've read this momentous sixth chapter. But notice he said to take the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, there's a difference, friends, before the battle and after the battle. Can you see a Christian, we might say, standing before the battle when he's not really put to the test? I can hear that Christian singing in the Lord's Day Assembly, oh, how I love Jesus. Or maybe the stirring song, Onward Christian Soldiers. And there he seems to be very strong. There it doesn't seem that he needs to have on the whole armor of God. But how about in the marketplace of life? How about on the battlefield? He now finds himself against a formidable foe. The Roman soldier with his armor is used as an illustration here by Paul. And notice what he says about this whole armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then this, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yes, he goes on to say in a very definite way that this is indeed the mystery of the gospel. But it is a point that we might stand before the battle, but will we be standing after the battle? The fiery darts of the wicked no doubt refers to the darts that were prepared, or the spears, by the Roman soldiers. The darts, of course, had a compound of sulfur, I'm told, in the head, that not alone would breach the skin, enter the body, but also create a burn. And when you burn, when you have a burn on top of a cut, then you have a serious situation. You know, it isn't the fact of simply killing the soldier for the Lord. But if you can put him out of commission so he's unable to get out there and fight, then you've really won a victory. So what are we going to do about this situation? We've got to recognize the fact that there is a battle. We've got to recognize the fact that we cannot win this battle by ourselves. But we can win it if we take the ingredients that are mentioned here by the Lord, by the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, and put them on, making sure that our complete spirit is covered as we go forth into this battle. You see, I'm interested in the shield of faith because that's to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's to ward them off. Do you have that faith? In one hand, you have the shield of faith. In the other hand, you have the sword of the Spirit. One is a defensive weapon. The other is an offensive weapon. You see, the soul of the Spirit indeed can be protected very definitely by that shield of faith as well. The sword of the Spirit indicates to us in a very definite way that we will go forth with a two-edged sword, meeting the opposition and eventually winning the victory. It's much like the taking of the city of Jericho. When Joshua was given the orders to march 13 times altogether around the city of Jericho in that week, one time each day for 6 days and 7 times upon the 7th day, there really was no precedent that he could turn to. And so in our battle in serving the Lord, we may not have an example that we can turn to in knowing how the devil's going to work. You see, he uses any kind of a means that he possibly can. And I've said so many times that if we were actually picturing the devil being on an athletic team, he'd be kicked out of the game in the first quarter because he doesn't play the game of life according to the rules. 2 Corinthians 11:3 simply says that Paul feared lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so their minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. By any means, he uses means that are far beyond what we expect in this life. And the element of surprise is always there. Now that's why we should take the whole armor of God to be standing before the test. And when the smoke of battle is cleared away, having done all, to still be standing. So this battle is going on today. You're going to find it in all facets of life. It's going to be found in the life of young people. It's going to be found in the lives of those who are older. Remember the wonderful statement that says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. This indicates there's a stand that can be taken in age. And then in youth, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He had begun that chapter by saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So from our youth to the last day of our life, we're going to be confronted with this battle. Are you in the camp of the devil today? If you are, be delivered from that power of darkness by obeying the gospel and be translated into the kingdom, into the army of the Lord. May God bless us all as we do his gospel truth in our life, and that's the way to speak of it. We're doing it, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But be sure and have this armor on as you go forth to meet the challenge of each day. May God bless us all as we serve him here, that we might live with him there.